Hey everybody, today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy for you to create your own professional website, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code JUNE, that's J-U-N-E, at checkout. A better website starts with your website. Hey everybody, if you're in Los Angeles on September 20th, come and check us out live at Largo in Los Angeles. Go to largo-la.com. Come see us on September 20th. And just because we did it last week and it was so damn fun, here is part two of the Howdies.
Now it's time for Howdy Disconnect. We're going to have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Did you know you won that Howdy Disconnect? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? The Howdies Part 2. That's right, this is our award show, the second part of our award show, recapping our first 88 to 90 episodes, depending on when we pulled these clips. I am joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas and June Diane Raphael. Now, you all know that in between our main episodes, we often do a mini episode. And on that mini episode, I'll answer questions, talk about things we might have missed in the movie that you guys bring to our attention. And now here is a supercut from Nate Kiley highlighting the best of the Q&A section of the mini episode podcast. And now, finally, a segment of the show that I like to call Questions and Answers. Why do I like to call it that? Because this is where you ask me questions, I give you answers. As you know, I like to answer questions. This is a part of the show where you give me Q's, I give you A's. Oh man, why did you even have to ask that? That's a tough question. What was the last movie you walked out of? I have never walked out of a movie. Jason Pessini writes, how many clowns does it take to screw in a light bulb? None. They just scared Jason into changing it. Boom! Jason slam! Where are my keys? Krista, they're behind your bookcase. I broke a filling eating corn nuts. Should I go to the dentist or just wait and see? What, if your tooth will grow back? It won't. I love to answer your cues with some sweet A's. Let's get into it. Q&A. Q&A. You got Q's. I got A's. Not AIDS. Me Q's, I give you A's, and I mispronounce your names. A chance to butcher people's last names. Here we go. This is a great name that I'm going to totally butcher. Erica Tatvenborstik.tor. Kimberly Galbarlasing writes, Vikas Bandhu, the best name of all time. Benjamin Dory writes, can I get a witness? Amen. There you go. Is Jason a robot? I can't answer that. Sorry. Whatever happened to Crystal Pepsi? That's from Flapjack Adams. My guess is that Sammy Hagar drank all of it. What's the deal with airplane food? Lee, this is what I ask all the time. I mean, those peanuts, they're in such small bags. Does TNT really know drama? No, man, they don't know drama. They know suits. How can I get my question read on air? Unknown. How soon is now? It will be actually February 10th. Tortillas? Hell yeah, man. Hot tortillas. A chance to butcher our amazing listeners' names. James Sheshkler. Nicholas Onosukaki. That's definitely not how you pronounce his name. This one is from Nicholas Onusakaksin. Sick. I tried and it did not help. Tyler Molterano. Butchered that name. I butcher every name. It's a little section we like to call Q and A's. Here we go. Q and A's. Here we go. This is when you ask me Q's, I give you A's. The good old Q and A's. You ask Q's, I give you A's. Tim Davies writes, ¿Habla español? No. I love Jewish people. I'm a fan. You know, I celebrate Hanukkah. I don't, but I would. Jack Gregson writes, can I be a guest on the show? No. Yeah, I'm sick and tired of these dog questions. Enough with these dog questions. How is June's last name officially pronounced? It's Raphael, not Raphael. Raphael. A chance for me to mispronounce all of your amazing names.
Christos Kotinis. I don't know what your name is.
Joshua Baradiga Agrastrand. We have the weirdest, fucking craziest names on people who write in here. Not cool. Not a cool question to ask.
Q and A.
This is time where you ask me Qs, I give you A's. Not AIDS, A's.
Q and A. Cody Brocco writes, how did I get this scar? Cody, dude, you sound like a fucking badass.
A lot of dogs in hell. Air Bud's in hell because he used to fuck underage dogs.
Lewis Hare said, should I eat this? Lewis, no. It may look like stevia, but it's actually ricin.
Dan Hurt writes, how's your mom?
Hey, man, do not talk about my mom.
Why the fuck can't you ever just do the dishes when I ask?
Because, Kat, my friends are here, okay? And I'm trying to hang out with my friends. I got the new Xbox and we want to play.
Oh, topical joke about Michael Douglas getting throat cancer from eating pussy.
Okay, USA, USA, let's burn a mall and kill people at a Walmart.
Jonathan Jones writes, is it safe?
No, get down there, shooting at you. Q and A.
Gavel sound, Law and Order sound effect. Okay, now it is time for your cues to get aid.
You give me cues, I give you A's. That's how it works. 1, 2, 3. Easy peasy.
That is from Holt Pringdon. Dust Gatch writes, Michael Astorgia. I don't even know how you pronounce it. I'm not even trying on these names anymore. Ernesto Aracia. I'm mispronouncing. I apologize, Ernesto. I like your first name more than your last.
What about the good old days when you put monkeys in a pair of jeans and gave them a cap and made them like talk like Lancelot Link? Let's get back to that. More movies with talking monkeys being forced to like say stuff because they have peanut butter in their teeth.
Why aren't you getting me something for my birthday this year, Paul?
Well, Weston, maybe you shouldn't have dated my mom.
Bro. Rhombus just sounds like a fat rectangle.
Okay.
First of all, don't use that kind of hip-hop language with me, butthole. This one's from Rebecca Miss. She writes, can I have a pony?
No, Rebecca, you cannot have a pony. You stay in your room. You stay in your room, and you don't use your ice powers in front of any of our friends.
What does Manzoukas look like? Sans beard?
Easy. Claire Danes.
A dead ringer for her. That's why he had to grow the beard, because of Homeland.
Guys, I know it's not on the Q&A, but can we just take a moment to just focus on John Travolta?
Okay, now it is time for viewer mail. This is where you ask me Qs, I give you A's, not AIDS. A lot of people think I'm giving out AIDS. I'm not giving out AIDS. You know, unless you want it. Then I know a guy you can talk to about it. These are questions asked by you, answered by me. Let's get into it.
Explanation Horse and Ace.
Ba-ba-ba-bam.
Okay, time to go to the question and answer mailbag. All right, this is where you ask me Q's, I give you A's.
And that's the truth. Look it up. Billy Ocean will finger your butthole.
Timmy Cramp writes, MC Hammer or ham sandwich? Ham sandwich tastier than MC Hammer. And doesn't do cash for gold commercials.
What's the average airspeed of velocity of an unladen African swallow? Well, that's a very good question. You know, I would say that since there's 47 different varieties of swallows found in Africa, I'll assume you'll either mean that the West African swallow or the South African swallow, because they both have African in their common names. Roughly, they're the same size in terms of body mass, wingspan, and flight mechanics. So in order to figure it out, we want to establish that Strahul ratio, which is the frequency of wing beats and the amplitude of each wing flap. You know, with those two numbers, it's possible to estimate the airspeed for a cruising bird.
What a great week it's been. We've been here at the Nokia Theater in our outfits, just waiting for the second, most people don't do two-part award shows.
Yeah. And I now realize why.
Yeah.
Because this week was horrible.
Idea. I mean, it was
an interminable week.
I don't eat any of that sushi anymore. I think it has gone bad.
That sushi has definitely gone bad. I have had a real bad diarrhea problem.
Been really.
I've just got like brown water shooting out of my butt. What? Too much?
No, maybe.
Hot brown water. Hot brown water shooting out of my butt. Diarrhea from some really bad sushi.
Well, that may... Here's a segue. Watch this one. That's an awkward thing to bring up. But no, nothing more awkward than when June and I greet each other at the top of every episode. That's right. You guys have commented that June and I have a very awkward way of greeting each other. June, would you agree?
I don't think so at all.
Thank you very much, June. Well, here's some of our most awkward introductions.
Most awkward introduction.
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am joined, as always, by June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
Good. How are you, Paul?
Very good. And Jason Manzoukas, how are you, Jason?
Just great, Paul. Just great.
We have a very special guest with us today. The lovely, the talented, the enormously funny Paul F. Tompkins.
Please welcome. Hello. Something very unnerving to me about seeing a married couple be so formal with each other. How are you? Oh, I'm fine, Paul. How are you?
And June, you are doing well?
You guys have woke up together, have spent the whole day together.
And June, it's as if he's asking me a question. I'm going to answer
are you
it.
Fine? Are you
doing
June
well?
Fine?
Yeah,
are you
doing fine?
All right, June.
I am, of course, joined by my amazing co-host, as always, Jason Manzoukas. How are you?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
Very good. And June Diane Raphael, how are you?
Good. Hi, Paul.
Very good. I said very
so
good.
Delicate.
Yeah.
So delicate today.
Hi.
June couldn't make it. A baby is here.
If you were
no,
listening,
I'm just really young.
You really, yeah. That baby tee looks really odd on you.
That onesie you're wearing is very strange.
Don't worry about it. You guys, this is Hollywood.
It's a onesie.
Hollywood.
June is wearing a onesie that says, "My mom is a slut."
it's in the little glitter spangles. We have a very special guest, as always, a horror aficionado, if you will. Kumail Nanjiani, how are you?
Hey, Paul.
Hey. How are you, June Diane Raphael?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
Good. I was very nervous about this interaction. People, we have this weird thing. I have to... there you go.
Now you're going to have to speak to it.
Yes. Well, people say that we introduce each other weirdly.
For a married couple.
For a married couple. But it's like, you're not with us 90% of the time. If you didn't know that, then that's a fine
And there's like no other time you'd be introducing me like that. I don't know
yeah.
How
are you, June? Yeah.
I will say this, because a lot of people don't know this part of it, is yeah. that when you guys are speaking... a little bit remotely to each other in those moments, you guys are fondling each other's genitals.
Oh, for oh, sure.
So there always. Is intimacy there.
It's always a physical intimacy. And June Diane Raphael. June, how are you, June?
I'm great, Paul. How are you?
Great. We're really working on that banter. It's getting better, I think, every week.
It's, you know what? This was, I will just a revealing a little bit of what happens. It took you guys 6 takes.
Yeah.
Of saying hello to each other before it started. We all agreed it felt human.
It's kind of.
Are we ready to move on?
June, a lot of awkward introductions there. What do you feel about that?
I don't know. I think we're just being totally natural and just being ourselves, and our relationship's really coming through.
I 100% agree with you. Thank you, June, for that response. I'm going to say for the first time in a category history that this category is null and void.
Thank you.
No winners because they're not awkward. Fuck you all. This is our relationship. This is how we did it.
This is how we did it?
Yeah.
How you did what? Made a baby?
I guess so. Yeah, sure. We'll take it like
very
that.
Very formally.
Now, this is, you know... one of my favorite supercuts that we have coming up here. This is a supercut of you, Jason.
Oh, boy.
All the 88 episodes just talking about sex.
Oh, yeah.
In any way, any shape, any form. This is...
I bet it's classy, though.
Oh, it's very classy. Okay, it's, cool. it's respectful. It's classy.
Good.
And so now, sit back, relax,
take
out your junk.
And get weird with yourselves.
Ladies, that goes double for you.
Just, oh, yeah.
Yeah, just enjoy yourself. Pleasure yourself to the Jason Manzoukas Sex Supercut by Kevin Porter.
There are so many shots of everybody's feet. It was crazy. And I jerked off. No. That's where I started jerking off.
I dare you to not jerk off during this.
And this movie was... I guarantee you, just made for dudes to jerk off to.
So I catch my son jerking it this afternoon.
Yeah. Throws on that image.
Like, why did they?
Jerked off. Amazing. Is like a jack-off shot.
I will always hear you when you're jacking off, Charlie boy.
So much jerking off. Because he was too busy jerking it all over them titties. Why do you think they were out?
Like, into if you Hulk think Hogan's we're not going to talk about jerking off push-ups...
It's now relax, pretty... everybody. Don't jerk it.
And Steve Jobs jerked off to Demolition Man.
Well, you didn't even talk about the. You didn't hard. Even talk about.
But when he has the tape at the end, what is he planning on doing from that point forward?
Jerking off.
Okay.
Bruce Willis comes on this girl's tits,
which is right about the point where I came.
That's because he comes that quickly. I'd already come at that point, so I stopped watching.
But they both definitely come. I came a bunch.
And by barf, I mean barf out of my wiener. I came.
I fucking came in my pants.
I pull away and I watch her.
cum.
That guy filled a cup full of cum and just threw it on them.
It's like a guy who takes a Viagra and comes immediately.
He's gonna like jizz in his pants.
He basically gets like green jizzed on.
So he's like jizzing all over. You guys get where I'm going with this, right?
Like a bukkake video.
I'm talking about a wiener in her mouth. I would have watched that. Over and over again.
Horny yeah,
real
as shit.
Horny.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Talk slower. Is oh, yeah. So upsetting. Oh, yeah.
Who's your daddy? You like that? Oh, yeah.
A somewhat transparent nightgown, oh, yeah. Which in 1916, ooh, to entertain me. A man in that
yeah.
outfit.
Yeah.
We will find out later, but at the time, we don't know what's going
so
on.
So what do you think's going on?
Well, Matthew Broderick's really resisting in training.
Yeah. Oh, Petey Poopoo. Oh, Petey Poopoo, you dirty Cindy. Boy.
It just starts to be like...
Sweet symbolism.
I'm gonna touch it like, ooh, yeah.
Oh, I gotta bite this juicy butt. Oh, I gotta bite this juicy butt.
He's 100% fucking this monkey, right?
This was the part I got really turned on at.
Even you can be blasting Phil Collins' daughter. Was he like softening her up so he could like blast her? She's hungry for cock. He's sleep fucking her, basically. The dad and the man, like, bone zoning. He is just stone cold bone zoning.
He is a stone cold rapist.
This is all like the weirdest child rape fantasy, having to go to work with the guy that raped you.
I was so thrown
by how sexy the rape scene was.
This kid is moments away from rape.
Oh, the gang rape was really upsetting. I wish you would stop asking if it's time to rape people. Fuck them. These broads should have been straight up raped with what was going on. And then he basically immediately starts trying to finger her. I cannot get a digit in.
I wish the movie was more vacuum vaginas.
Oh, you gotta beat up those big vaginas.
Full-blown beaver shots.
And she just went to town on him. Dag, go to Pound Town on little person Gwen Stefani. Oh, I just thought she had a period.
I wouldn't have raw-dogged her if I knew she was an escort.
Yeah. She's the nympho, like all women.
And a real shrew.
Yeah,
a
like all shrew. Women.
Well, cause and Superman does this woman's bidding in order to bone her.
He bones her, he bones her to death.
They show penetrative sex.
His hot dick kills her. But then I felt like she looked like wet.
Yeah, she wanted it. I'm telling you, she was wet for it.
Wet in your pants for Phil Hartman.
You are wet for foul. She is wet.
They might as well have put in a sound effect like squish. Yeah. It's like all the girls got wet instantly in that scene. Who they saw baby pictures of and are now apparently just him? Wet for him.
Olympian.
She kind of makes me wet.
She's addicted to cigarettes in her pussy. I want all of you to think about that tonight when you're fucking each other. And then come. Young Puffy Nips wants a piece.
She starts working the pole like a whore. Again.
If DeVito's cock is out, it's hard. Yeah. I was obsessed with them sexually.
Super into incest, guys. Super into incest.
I will always hear you, even when you're fucking somebody else.
When he gave a buttery hand job to a breadstick, you see lips.
Yeah, that's my...
But I'm pretty sure I can see her bush. Jason. You see labia majora and minora.
No, you don't.
There's that speculum shot. And then they fuck. We can fuck this bush if we want.
Show us your titties.
I do if they want to see them titties. Does she show her tits in it? Okay, great. I'll buy that Helen Hunt movie and Sharknado.
See, like, Krista Chenoweth always have huge tits?
Yeah.
The kid needs to see some tits. That's how I want to watch a movie. Sitting on a girl's lap with a mouthful of tit.
Then you see some sweet, sweet duck titties.
I'm about to see some tits. Let's do this. I was only mad this dumb slut didn't pull her tits out. And she's like, how about looking at my titties?
I just want to see her and her friends and their titties out.
The titty woman.
Yes.
Like he's about to titty fuck somebody. And the only person around is his son with her tits hanging out, diddling herself in the bath.
And her tit almost falls out for the rest of the scene. Cut to titties a popping. And I guarantee you that morgue technician fucked the hole in that woman's tit right after that left.
That's
right?
The best spot. That's right? The best spot. Sick. The last spot to go cold.
Because you're looking at it and you're like, ooh, I've never had one of those before.
Ooh, so gross. Amazing sex supercut there.
Super
thank you.
Sexy.
That was deeply erotic.
Now, guys, we have been told many times that we use or misuse the word literally. And one listener to the show believes that we've only used it correctly once. We've only correctly used the term literally once.
I'm mad. If that's true, I'm mad. I would like to have misused it every time.
So here is the first time that we've ever used the word literally correctly from the movie Fast and the Furious. Take a listen. Post-credit sequence, by the way.
Guys.
The best.
I literally freaked out when this happened.
Like, yeah.
I was freaking out when this happened.
So that is the first time.
No.
It's a good use of the word literally.
Solid. Solid. Yeah,
solid.
But still, if that is the only one, I wish we could strike it from the record so that we could have a perfect record of misuse.
I feel like we can go back in and edit it out for people in the future.
That'd be great.
On the show, we have come up with a bunch of new words, words that we have never been in the lexicon, things that have not been in the dictionary. We've created them. We've enjoyed them. And if you've been listening recently, you know that we've replaced the word shocked with sharked. Unfortunately, the voting was closed by the time that that came out. But here are some new words that we developed over the course of this show.
New words.
From Catwoman.
Like, you're literally, I was like, this is absolutely insane, right? And she like, and then she has like catnip jizz all over her face.
I was like, this is the craziest shit. I loved her cat work.
How about her waking up in the sludge too, which I found disgusting.
Sludge? You mean the shit? You mean when she's covered in shit, having been brought back to life by a cat's kiss?
From Mac and Me regarding the aliens.
Aliens never have genitals. I mean, there's rarely, which is interesting.
Well, E.T. was naked. E.T. was naked the entire time, but you didn't think of his balls and his dick. These guys are, they look like humans. That's why you're thinking.
They look like naked people.
Yeah. Right.
Well, maybe their genitals are their cheeks.
Dizzy Gillespie.
This movie I found very upsetting.
From Joyful Noise.
A tissue of shit.
Now that's not someone
in the form of a tissue.
Is that like someone pooping on tissue? Is that somebody wiping and putting their wipe in there?
I thought it was in a tissue. I thought somebody shit in a tissue and wrapped it up like Rush's guess.
You think it's a bum wiping?
I think it's a bum wiping.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Wait, bum wiping versus turd in tissue. Dan, do we think it's human or of dog?
I think it's human shit, and I think someone wiped their ass and they put it in the mentally challenged kids locker.
Guys, this is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to say
competitive category.
None of these have really found their way into the cultural lexicon.
No, I thought for sure that tissue of shit would have been in there. Catnip jizz, classic ones all the way around.
Catnip jizz is a real classic.
Yeah, I mean,
genitalis does seem like a word that already existed.
Genitalis.
No, I don't think
so.
Okay. Yeah. You'd be without genitals. But genitalis.
Genitalis.
You don't say you're handless.
That's true. Okay, that's true.
I'm going to say that...
For those of you listening who don't know, June is missing a hand.
Yeah.
In addition to, if you've heard the first episode, being completely bald. I'm going to say that the conversation in Joyful Noise about the tissue of shit, because that was a term that we couldn't quite figure out what it actually meant, and I feel like we should get that into the lexicon.
Let's do it. Let's get it out there.
Sure.
Joyful Noise?
Yep, you win.
Win.
Dolly Parton here to accept. Oh, wait, she's not here?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Dolly Parton is not here. I'm sad to report.
Here are some host impressions. Now, we, you know, as much as our guests like to do impressions, we oftentimes like to do impressions of characters, and here are our favorite impressions. These are all of us doing our best celebrity impressions. Take a listen.
Best impression by a host.
Jason Mantzoukas as Barb Wire.
Yes, well, but why not just have a line of dialogue that is like, I got you now, babe.
Just or as Sonny does like that.
Share
great
and vice
reading,
versa.
Jason, great
By
reading.
The way, I'm killing it today. Yeah, guys, I need more work.
Jason Mantzoukas as Cher from Burlesque.
Okay, and then the girls all leave, and Christina Aguilera didn't leave in time with them, so she's kind of like, oh, but I don't have any friends. And then she sits at her mirror and starts putting on makeup.
Cher comes over
and is like, Cher comes over and is like, that brush is too old. You're not doing it right. And and then Cher literally puts makeup on Christina Aguilera, and Christina Aguilera is like, my mom died when I was 7.
Jason Mantzoukas as Burt Reynolds from in the name of the king.
Who are the guys who were paid to put Burt Reynolds on his horse?
Oh,
the four guys who had to fucking put it. You got, ow, ow, my back. Just Burt Reynolds crying.
Burt Reynolds being like, you tell me when there is 1 second to shoot, and then you put the helmet, then you can put the helmet on me. Until then, don't fucking come near me with that fucking helmet.
June Diane Raphael as Stallone from Demolition Man.
Asked to be put in a moment of frustration, says, put me back in the fridge.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Not even the freezer, just the fridge.
The fridge.
Paul Scheer as Poison Ivy from Batman and Robin. Even Uma Thurman, she's dressed all sexy the entire time, and then all of a sudden, like, in one scene, she's in, like, a full green jumper, and it's like, wait, bring back the sexy version of her. Like, she should
be in
that
one that came out of the gorilla suit.
I couldn't make heads or tails out of Uma Thurman's character at all.
Oh, I mean...
I didn't know what she was doing. I didn't know what her point was. She was truly, like, there were so many characters in this movie that it's just a mess.
Well, I mean, her character basically just wants... to save the have the plants come back, but she also is upset when Mr. Freeze says he has a wife. He like she's been killing all the men, and then like Freeze is like, I have to save my wife, and she's like, oh, you have a wife, huh?
This
didn't
is a
mention that
woman show.
Yeah, it's like, but what do you want to do?
By the way, great Poison Ivy.
Anytime.
That's a pretty good one. Paul Scheer as Robin Williams in Toys. By the way, we played this on the mini episode. One of the trailers for the movie is just Robin Williams in like a field going, hello, I'm Robin Williams, and I think you should see the movie. Oh, I've listened to like just doing voices, advertising the movie with no clips, just doing crazy Robin Williams voice. Jason Mantzoukas as Edward as Droopy Dog in Breaking Dawn Part 2. Super hugs. She can give really strong hugs.
Did you get in time? I missed strong hugs. Yeah. So she goes to hug Robert Pattinson, and it does that whoomp noise they do whenever they move around fast.
Yeah.
It does the whoomp noise, and then he's like, all, oh, you're stronger than me now, Bella. Please let go.
It's like
Bella is finally, you know, in control. Like, it's so bad. It's terrible that June isn't here.
I would love that. I love that impression because it's basically Edward as Droopy Dog.
Oh, please don't hug me.
You're so strong, Bella.
We can't let you hold Renesmee.
But I do.
You'll squeeze her to death.
Paul as the Leprechaun from Leprechaun in the Hood.
Do you guys remember what the leprechaun says when he sees the transvestite? This is his exact rhyme. I wrote it down. He says, I didn't come to play with fruit. I only came for my magic flute. He calls him a fruit. It's the only thing that the good guys and the bad guys agree on is that gay people are weird. Well,
guys, I think we all want to vote for ourselves in this category.
Yeah, this is like a pretty good one.
Yeah, the numbers aren't going to lie, though.
The numbers?
Yeah, the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got to crunch them.
I mean, we could have a tie. If we all vote for ourselves, we could have a tie. We could have a multiple tie. All right.
What happens if we have a tie?
We give a tie.
Oh boy.
Tie, we have to give a speech at the same time. Okay, guys. June, what do you vote on?
I'm gonna vote for my own impression of Stallone for Demolition Man.
Solid. Solid choice.
All right. Then I'm gonna vote for myself doing Pam Anderson's lines from Barbed Wire.
Ooh, really good. And I, because it's classy, gonna vote for myself doing the Leprechaun from Leprechaun in the Hood doing a Martin Luther King quote.
All right. So
tie.
It's a tie.
Three-way tie. Way to go.
Well, let's all give our acceptance.
Well, guys,
right
when I saw the movie Leprechaun, I was very excited by the idea of what it meant. It was in the Hood, and that was an interesting
idea. Because at some point,
it's a social commentary. Oh, we all got cut off. Here's the deal. We have a sponsor. Their name is Squarespace. They are the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, or online store. That's pretty much every reason why there is a website. So what are you waiting for? Squarespace is fast, it's easy, and guess what? They offer beautiful designs.
And not only that, they have 24/7 customer support and a drag and drop interface. So even if you aren't a web developer, you can create your own gorgeous website. No more nerds rule the world. Now people who don't know anything about coding can get in there and figure it out. All right, now here you go. If you are one of those nerds, guess what? You can do it yourself. They have a code feature too. That's what I'm saying here, people. Everyone can build a website. It's for everyone, okay? And you know what? Plans start at only $8 a month and include a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So a free trial, get 10% off. All you gotta do is visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code June, J-U-N-E, at checkout. Because a better website starts with your website. Lead the way, people. Tell people, yell it from the rooftops. I am Squarespace. I am Squarespace. We're Squarespace, just like Spartacus, but about websites. Get a load of this delicious idea. Nature Box. Each month, you get a box of delicious snacks, and just not any snacks. These are the real deal. I'm talking no high fructose corn syrup, no hydrogenated oils, no artificial flavors or colors. These are, for lack of a better term, smart fucking snacks. That's right. Each snack faces strict quality standards and are nutritionist approved. Okay, that means that there's someone in a lab going, yeah, you can eat this. I say, okay, I'm staking my reputation on it. And it's a big reputation because if they lose this job, they're not going to be able to pay their bills. So this nutritionist takes it seriously. So rather than picking up something while you're grocery shopping, have smart snacks sent to your door. You can even get them sent right to your office. Basically, wherever mail is sent, you can get them, okay? So avoid spending your money on the vending machines outside your office where that weird dude always hangs out. Avoid that guy and get delicious things like granola. Ooh, that's so good. You can get the dried fruits. Here's something that you may not think is delicious, but it is. Smoky barbecued peas. Yeah, they're good. Kung Pao pretzels. I had them. They were great. Salt and pepper lentil loops. This is what I'm talking about. Adult snacks for smart people. So if you want to feel good, go to naturebox.com/how to get not 10, not 20, but 50% off your first month. How about it? It is time to get snacks that you can feel good about again at naturebox.com/how. That's how today. naturebox.com/how. Go to it today. Get 50% off. All right. Last week, we talked about some of the best discoveries and revelations that we've had as a group, that we've had as individuals about movies that we have watched. We are going back to this well because there's so many great revelations and discoveries that we've had. So listen to the best discoveries and revelations, part two.
Best revelation, part two.
Figuring out the title of Deck the Halls.
Your name, your title for this movie, if you could title it anything, and your question. Go.
My name is Chris. Deck, it sounds like they just want to punch the halls. Is that what they're talking about? They're
oh.
No, his name is Hall. His name is...
His first name was Buddy Hall.
Oh, his last name was Hall!
Whoa! No, no.
I got that.
Oh, wow.
But do you think you wanted to punch him?
Guys!
All right, I'll take it. Good, wow, standing ovation for that.
From Demolition Man, figuring out the relationship between Stallone and Sandra Bullock.
I'm just gonna, should we just go, Sandra Bullock is 100% his daughter, right?
Yeah. There's no other way.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock is 100% his daughter.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. No.
Yes.
She knows. No. Because she knows who the daughter is.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't let her look it up. She's about to look it up. She's like, I can look it up.
Stops.
And he's like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because then when I fuck you, it'll be weird.
Oh, my God.
This is like old boy shit. Spoilers for Old Boy. Yeah.
Guys, you rocked my world.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
From Toys, understanding what Joan Cusack actually was. The war is almost over, and then Joan Cusack gets hurt.
And we find out that Joan Cusack is a robot.
Yes.
Joan Cusack is a robot. Saying that again.
You thought in the movie that she was just kind of a fragile, kind of autistic, maybe like on the spectrum, kind of oddball this girl.
Nope.
A sheltered kind of homebody. Nope. Total robot.
A robot. She's a robot.
No. I just need people who are listening to the podcast to know.
Just take it in.
The Joan Cusack character, who's been one of the main characters. We've seen
eat multiple
sandwiches. She's eating sandwiches.
With vitamins in them.
Which she did say, though, they go through the system.
Yep.
She said they easily go through my system, which now means something. She's an goddamn robot.
Which, by the way, here's the other thing. Everyone knows.
Yep.
Everyone knew that she was a robot, but us, the audience.
Yes.
Robin Williams is like, oh yeah, she's a robot. My dad created her for me because my mom died early. Wait. Okay, like this.
How is this possible?
And
how is this? No. How is it possible?
So was she that making age?
Well, that's the question.
She can't grow.
Have
she
been building a new robot every year? Well, that's little bigger.
Well, no, because LL Cool J goes, it looks like she's always been the same age.
That's creepy. 30? That's insanely creepy. Then.
So when he was like 10, he had a 30-year-old sister.
Yeah.
I
mean, what the fuck is going on?
From Fast and the Furious 6, June's theory that blows Jason's mind.
You don't think he has a stunt double?
He must.
No, I don't think so.
He has to.
So you think when they're lighting rock scenes, there's somebody like standing on apple boxes or something?
I think when you work on this movie with these people, I think the other thing that really comes through in this movie is there's an authenticity to these. I'm dead serious.
What is happening?
You feel like these people are a little hard and they come from, like, they know this world. I feel that.
I don't know.
Are you serious? I feel like there's so much machismo on set. I feel like all these guys are doing their own stuff.
I feel like this is what the movie is like.
No way.
They're like, all right, guys, we're going to call action in 5 minutes, but everyone can do your push-ups now. And I feel like there's like a big push-up circle before every scene. All right, so this is last week there's a lot of, you know, it was a clear-cut winner. You know, Reindeer Games, Rudy, that was very big. But here, a lot of things here that I think were interesting. The one thing that I'm going to go out on a limb and jump on it first and say, figuring out that Sandra Bullock might have been Stallone's daughter was one that I feel like is...
Well, because I remember you didn't know that.
But I don't think no one knows it.
That was a theory. That is like, I think I posited that as an idea.
Yeah, it's not true. Well, you say it like you're saying like I'm not an avid fan.
Paul, what you're not seeing is that June doesn't remember the movie. June, I think, believes that was part of the movie because it's been chosen in the category.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking that was the case when I was watching the movie, that I remember thinking like, what's happening.
I'm trying to think. This is a tough one.
I mean, also Deck the Halls being
like
Punch the Halls.
Yeah.
Okay, time to vote, guys. Time to vote. What do we think?
Okay, the numbers are in. I am choosing the Demolition Man Sandra Bullock as Stallone's daughter reveal.
I think that's the clear-cut winner.
Boom. Did it. Sandy, Stallone, get on up here. Nope. They may have left.
They've left.
We lost a lot of guests in the last week.
Yeah. Everybody was here last week.
Yeah, they're all just seat fillers now.
and celebrity impressionists.
All right, so again, we're going back to some categories that we had last week, but we have had a lot of celebrity guests on, and all of them come here attempting to explain how a movie got made, and here are some of our favorites.
Best Guest Insight.
Greg Sestero describing the process of making The Room.
What? It just keeps going. We could talk about the dysfunction all day long.
Why not just shoot the rooftop you were on?
Okay, this is blowing my mind. I figured you guys were just in a random like studio.
Just think, every decision that you could have made that would have made sense, we went
the other way,
different direction.
For creative reasons, or
if you want to be generous.
Vanilla Ice answering our questions about As Cool as Ice.
I got to ask, in the movie, because this was a question we all had, when you guys ride in on the motorcycles in that first scene,
yeah,
first it starts with the opening with Naomi Campbell and the song and the video and everything. And then the next shot is you guys riding through like the fields and the countryside. Where had you come from?
Well, you know, the thing is that we're travelers. I was like a gypsy.
You're nomads?
So, okay.
We said that. Okay. That was one of our
guests. Yes.
Okay.
I have no home. That's the whole mystery of the movie. Because
yeah,
here's
you don't
this
even have
guy
a parent.
Pops in on this city all of a sudden. Where did he come from? Who is he?
Who knows?
Who knows? You're not supposed to know. Movie magic. But
you're not supposed to know.
We're drifters. Yeah. And total I did all drifters. The stunts on the motorcycles myself. We had a stunt guy, and I was watching him jump. And I'm a motocrosser.
Okay.
And I've been racing motocross since I was 8 years old. So, I mean, I'm like, I can't let my guys that race motocross see you do that little bitty jump. Let me show you how to jump.
Wait. So you jump the fence into towards
you
the horse?
Jump
really?
The car, the fence, all of it.
Through the wall?
At first they were like, well, what if you scratch yourself or hurt yourself? The movie's just, we can't put you on hold. We can't wait for you to heal. I says, I'm not going to hurt myself. Just watch. And they're like, no. And I just went back and bam, jumped it. They're like,
that's awesome.
That was cool.
Whitney Moore describing the entire philosophy of Birdemic.
Any other moments from that film where you were like, this is amazing? Like, was there a point where you were like, we'll just roll with it? And like, because you're 7 months in, so I imagine at month three you're kind of like, all right.
A couple weeks in. I mean, the first, like I said, the first two makeup artists quit. That was already like the first two weekends. We sort of realized what we were signing up for, and we're like, just do it. And then 7 months later, we're like,
yeah, right.
And you know, you guys pointed out a lot of really awesome stuff that's like, this doesn't make sense. Why would you ever do this in anything ever? And we had those questions too on set, and we would ask him and be like, James, it doesn't make sense that we would go to a forest and fill up a million water bottles.
I do want to ask, do you have any insight into how long a period of time the movie is supposed to unfold over?
I have zero insight about anything.
Okay, great. Yeah, 'cause what would he say to you when you said, why are we going into the woods?
He would say, 'cause it's a movie.
Good answer. Good answer.
That's a great director.
I have to know, at what point was James on board with it being a quote-unquote comedy? Because obviously he didn't set out to make a campy movie.
Not until, I would say, 3 or 4 months into... Severin signing with them, and they had to sit him down and be like, James, we could do something and like have a lot of fun with Birdemic, but you need to understand that it's... not the action movie that you think it is.
So he is, when it first came out, he was like, did it, done it.
Yeah.
Like,
you're welcome.
Kevin Smith talking about the producer of The Wild Wild West.
So he looks at me, he's sitting on his couch, big living room. He looks at me for a long, hard beat, man. And he goes, you and me are going to get Superman right. You know why? And at first I felt good because I was like, well, it sounds like I got a fucking job.
Yeah.
I said, why? And he goes, because you and me, we understand Superman. Do you know why? And I said, no. He goes, because you and me are from the streets. Now.
And he is from the streets originally.
Yeah. I don't know where he's from, but I am not from
Came
the
up on those
streets.
Hard knocks.
The streets that led to Barbara Streisand. Very hard streets. And I didn't want to say, like, I grew up in the suburbs. This dude was a hairdresser. Neither of us know the streets. And he was literally, and also, remove that. What's fucking Superman have to do with the streets?
Not the least street smart character, really.
Exactly.
He's just an alien who's,
So he was a guy, I guess he'd come from not so much money, because he talked about, like, you know, I used to go to wherever city he lived in, that department store. He's like, and I used to go and just look at the window displays, the things they put up. One of those people with nothing looks at the image of something and goes, one day.
Very movie moment. His life is a movie.
A movie moment. He only brought this up because when I came in, there was a setup in the middle of his living room that I swear to God looked like the floor of Nordstrom's. There was a piano and there was like what looked like a display with sweaters and shirts on it.
No.
What, there was sweaters and shirts on it?
I'm not fucking kidding. And I thought, so I was like, when we were in the middle of the place, I was like, well, maybe they were doing some kind of benefit here or something like that. But he was explaining to me that he always dreamed about having
what
displays.
Wow. This is really crazy though, because on Oprah, Barbara Streisand was interviewed, and one of her homes, her entire basement is set up like a store. like a department store. Yeah, where it's crazy.
She came from
rooms.
No money. Is she one of these like I came from nothing?
No, she came from nothing.
Way.
That is, I do know she came from nothing. And had like a horrible mother.
Yeah,
she has,
but
like,
it's a funny
childhood.
Image to come from nothing. Instead of just buying a lot, you create a store.
That's very
like,
odd.
Maybe, I gotta get dressed today. I'm just gonna go downstairs and buy an outfit, and
because I can.
That I already own.
You could literally make the argument like, she can't go to the store anymore. Maybe she misses the experience of like walking onto the floor. So she's created her own version in a Truman Show like way. But it really comes down to like, I think it comes down to, we always saw this as being a sign of wealth.
Yeah.
And so once we had so much crazy wealth where we had a house and many cars and everything's taken care of and we're just looking for shit to buy, we start buying our childhood back or images of what we think we wanted.
I
want to
buy that
kids.
Nordstrom's. This category is amazing because look at it. You got Greg Sestero from The Room, Vanilla Ice, Birdemic, and Kevin Smith. So many amazing people. Any favorites?
For me, it is The Room. I feel like that movie was like blew our minds, was exceptional to watch. And then Sestero's explanation of so much of what was happening behind the scenes was awesome. That I really enjoyed that.
I agree too. I think that was pretty good. I mean, although,
I enjoyed but I mean, not to say like I loved Vanilla Ice and what he had to say.
Whitney Moore was amazing.
Whitney Moore was terrific.
You see, I loved Whitney Moore's because it's a movie quote so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was great. Guys,
are the numbers coming in yet? Or?
It's The Room. The Room won. Sorry, Whitney. You came very close. You came very, very close. And you know, now it's a time, a sad time, in where we kind of memorialize some people that we have lost. And
this is always a tough moment.
This is a chance for us to apologize to the names that we have killed. Now, Jason, you have avoided being handpicked in this. You've pronounced the names correctly.
Oh, thank God.
June and I apparently don't. And here are some names that we had killed. I apologize to Joe Don Baker from Congo for calling him John Doe Baker.
And I apologize to Lily Sobieski for calling her Lily Zoibaleleski. I'm formally apologizing to James Earl Jones for calling him James Oil Jerns. And of course to Vanessa Hudgens for calling her Vanessa Huggins.
So sorry to have lost all those great names. So sad.
I forgot about the Lily Sobieski one. That's the best one. That and Gooby.
Gooby will be in the next one. So I think I agree that Lily Sobieski. Well, no award
Lily
here.
Lily Sobieski.
June, as upsetting as those mispronunciations were, one of the best parts of the show is watching you get upset and disturbed by something that happens in a movie. So this category is for you. These are your most upsetting moments.
Most upsetting.
The facial disfiguration from Old Dogs.
Just for a visual, the people who have the giant smile, it is done with computer graphics so that in the movie, when you're watching it, Travolta, they've like brought, like when you, on your iPhone with face goo, like move your fingers apart and make someone have a crazy enormous mouth.
It looks like a cartoon.
It looks like a cartoon.
It's disturbing.
Yeah. So disturbing.
Especially at the end when the entire family mistakenly takes this pill.
How dare they leave us on that shot?
That's how the movie ends. The movie ends with the entire family having facial paralysis, smiling for a photo op.
Spoiler alert.
The penis nose from Nothing But Trouble. Chevy Chase goes down a big slide. He gets into John Candy's room. Watch John Candy take off his nose.
Oh,
that was so disgusting. Horrifying.
Guys, again, I ask, is he a human being? Why did his nose come off? Why did his nose?
I'm telling you right now. I'm more on your side than not.
Is the nose in fact a penis?
Yes.
Is the nose someone's severed penis that he's using as a nose?
Yes.
Okay, so think of it like
to
this.
Breathe out of it.
All right. So
underneath
World War
the penis, he didn't have a nose.
No, it was like a pig's snout, like a snout pig.
The naked alien with a gun from Mac and Me.
Here's the thing, the alien family is wandering on their desert planet, sucked in, brought to Earth, and now they're walking around, they're humanoid, But gender, like, they are genitalless.
Yes.
And they're always nude.
But they're, they are gender specific.
The very
they
end.
Are gender. They are gender
yes,
specific.
Until the end, they're in business suits.
They are nude.
And one of them is just like Jackie Owen.
Yes. Okay, that's what was so crazy. The Mama Alien was dressed from the 1960s.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Had, like, a little
well,
hat
also,
on.
And they get and in that they car. All, they get in that car, which looks like
yeah,
which looks like the car that was driving down Dallas.
Oh, at the end, shot. At the end, when they're made citizens.
Oh my God.
Eric and his family come up and kiss them all on the lips.
On the mouth.
Yeah. There's all there's a bunch
well,
of weird
because,
mouth
well,
kissing.
Well, I wonder what would happen if you did press into the cheek of one of those.
The interior design of Jack Frost.
The colors in the house, the paint colors and the couch color, I found so upsetting. They were...
Well, they matched his hair. Like, Michael Keaton was rocking a weird color
really
hair.
Weird.
Yeah.
And how about that sleeveless t-shirt he wears to bed?
That
I
was
didn't mind
bizarre.
It.
Lance Bass's wardrobe from On the Line.
And he's wearing that horrible stuff. Gray leather blazer I never want to see again.
I was,
that was so
I was
upsetting. That costume was so upsetting.
The dad's death in Green Lantern.
I don't know if this was in the comic book, Jason, but that scene where they flash back to the dad.
No, I don't.
That wasn't in the comic book.
I don't
that
remember
was
that.
Was brutal.
So
but the
was,
dad survived the crash, no, and they made eye contact, and
second.
Then the plane blew up?
That's terrible.
Okay, see.
That was so
oh, my
we
God.
We both gasped. We were sitting there, we
this
both
is
gasped.
Horrible.
This is
I love that that's what
necessary.
You think was brutal. You didn't think the dad throwing young Hal Jordan his leather coat and saying, keep it warm for me was brutal? Because
not a
that was the worst. Keep
oh
it warm.
Not
for
enough.
Me.
I thought not enough foreshadowing that dad was gonna die. And just a general for 88 minutes.
Seen the movie? You will know. I have no idea what we're talking about. Basically, so these girls are murdered. These Asian girls are murdered. Ugh. Al Pacino testifies at their trial with a little prince mustache.
Yes.
And then the movie cuts
oh
9 years
that
later.
That female lawyer.
Oh my
that
god.
That female lawyer
oh
delivered
god.
Her dialogue.
She's schmacting up a.
Delivered that's, her dialogue oof. As if she was auditioning for like Real Housewives.
It
like
was insane.
It was mental.
This movie
her performance.
Is so misogynistic from the beginning to end. It is so
true.
The portrayals of
so
women
so erogenistic.
So upsetting.
It's true. That one, that lawyer's teeth, by the way, were goddamn huge.
Yes,
I watched the rest of the film on her teeth. IMAX. They were huge, and it looked like the first fucking take. That's the first time.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm watching the Asians.
Your Your Honor,
yeah.
objection.
Yeah. Yeah.
It did look like the first take. Like, just get this one out of your system.
That's
like,
when it hit me
your
that
worst
it might,
instinct.
And
it
John
might be terrible.
Yeah. And John Avnet was like, I feel like I should ask her to come down like 90%. Fuck it. Check the gate.
Moving on.
Moving on.
She was doing like a
we
bad
got that.
Dennis Miller, like, Your Honor, my yeah. client was flippity
hey, cha-cha.
Just as soon as Oedipus finished off his second burrito. Like, what the fuck did you just say? And the judge, you can tell her to shut the
yeah.
fuck
yeah.
up. And he's just like, I'll allow it.
So basically, Al Pacino testifies, puts this guy away, and you're fine. We cut to 9 years later, Al Pacino wakes up in a bed with this woman who's doing naked yoga.
And brushing
naked,
her teeth.
And brushing her
in
teeth.
In a way that looks like she's fucking giving a Sonic Arrow blowjob.
Yes, exactly. She's got it in her mouth and her leg is up. It's
well, you know, like girls do. You're
like,
right.
You're right.
You're right. It's a misogynistic movie. Was that supposed to be like, this guy's got it made?
What?
Well, everyone wants to fuck Al Pacino
everybody.
In this movie.
That's the craziest thing about
this movie.
Like,
he's like the hottest guy
like
of all time.
Indiana Jones in this movie.
And the women they cast, though, are towering over him.
Molly
Ringwald. There are police dogs that are taller than him in this movie.
Al Pacino in this movie isn't tan. He's mahogany. Like, he's an odd color.
His wig is out of control.
Is that a wig?
Oh, right? Yes, that's
I mean,
a wig.
It's a pompadour that is lost.
It's
like Bruno Mars's pompadour got a pompadour.
Yeah.
Like, it's like
it is,
crazy.
It's as if he's practicing in this movie for his Phil Spector role.
It is huge. It does add inches.
If you're wondering
it.
What that banging is, it's Pete Holmes smashing the table every time he's enjoying himself.
What do we think here? What do we think? A lot of you are upset a lot.
Well, I remember I don't remember anything about the movie, but nothing but trouble. The feeling I had inside my body watching the entire film was just really like I felt sick. So I think For me, that was the most upsetting experience.
Okay, you were most upset by that.
Yes.
Okay, Jason, do you have...
Well, I don't know if this is a category that, like, we can award in a way.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like June is the true measure of her own...
Yeah.
Of her own upsettedness.
All right, June, you win. You win, you get...
This is a shock. This one was...
And now, June, while you are also upset a lot, there's also a chance when you get... actually, things that you like that we don't like, but you like them a lot. And here is a supercut of all the things that June has liked that all put together, again, by the amazing Kevin Porter, the guy who brought you the Jason Mantzoukas Super Sex Cut. Here is the June I Like It cut.
And I enjoyed it. You know, I did. But I...
Wait.
I did enjoy the movie. I have to say something up front.
This is going to blow your mind. I know this already.
I loved it.
Holy shit. Wait. I don't think I've ever heard that from a human being.
I loved
what
it.
Are you talking about?
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah. I didn't think you... Like, I know a lot of people have been...
Wait. I thought it was great? Wait. What?
I thought it was great.
No,
he was not bad.
The whole third act of the movie, he really pulled off. I enjoyed it.
Wow. How? In what way?
I enjoyed that scene you're talking about on the seesaw.
No.
Yes,
no.
Yes, it did.
Just no.
Seesaw scene?
I love the seesaw scene. I love them together. Vin Diesel's performance, I think, is more complex than you're allowing, Adam. I really do.
It is not.
I liked her.
The female perspective.
Good. I think for a non-actress, she's doing a fine job in this movie.
I don't know. I'm actually.
I think the other thing that really comes through in this movie is there's an authenticity to these. I'm dead
what
serious.
What is
you
happening?
Feel, I teared up when she died.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I was hoping against hope she would come back somehow.
Well, she got a sequel.
She did. She got a sequel.
I didn't even know about the sequel. I'm excited to see it. I
during the first 40 minutes, what did you think was going to happen?
The first 40 minutes of the movie, I thought, this is a great movie. I'm enjoying it. Guys, I thought she was great.
She was the highlight.
She was amazing. I'm not kidding. I thought she was great. I thought she was great. I thought her best performance was in that sex scene. I did.
Really?
Like, there's a lot of great things about this movie. I think that they... I'm serious, you guys. They are competent actresses.
That's girl power.
Yeah. I did like that moment.
That they were like, all right, just get on my back. We're going to go ahead and...
It did look like fun.
But that's the one thing. I do feel like the two of them were
like... It did look like fun. Oh, my God.
I really enjoyed it.
Wow.
And here's what I think I connected to the most.
A lot of the times we say this movie should have been called blank. So we went out to our fans at Largo in Los Angeles to figure out if they could match our quote with the right movie.
I'm going to tell you something that we said on the podcast. You tell us, if we said this movie should have been called. You tell me the movie, all right? I'm just going to do it right. Pull your pants down, kids. I'm your dad.
Don't know.
Pull your pants down, kid. I'm your dad. Who knows it? Who knows it? You know it. Pull your pants down, kid. I'm your dad.
Over the top.
You got a sticker. This movie should have been called "He's a Little Gay, She's a Little Gay." Anyone know it? What do you got? Justin Kelly, you got it. Sticker. That sticker is a Congo sticker that says, "Amy says you're ugly." This movie should have been called Gears and Pointless Contraptions. Ooh, you know it in the front. Here we go. What do you got? What do you got?
Toys.
No, wrong. Yeah, what do you got?
Nothing but trouble?
No, wrong. What do you got?
Sucker Punch.
No, wrong. What do you got?
Ernest Goes to Jail?
No, wrong. What do you got?
Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West, you win! You get a sticker of June saying... The pyro work in this movie is suspect. And finally, the last sticker here. All right, this movie should be called Wigs. Wig. Wait, I'm gonna go for something in the back because you guys. Yeah, who's back? Back. Go, Wigs.
Burlesque.
There you go. Very good. You guys are really good. Okay.
Wow, and another June category.
Look, I just always show up and do the work, you know, so whatever, these award shows, it's not, I just want everybody to know, it's not why I'm
It's not why I do it.
Okay, well, June, this is your areas of expertise. We heard in the first episode that you're a wig expert, but let's see what other expertise you have.
June's areas of expertise.
Pyrotechnics from The Glimmer Man.
The pyro work in this movie is suspect. Like, when the TV falls, something happens in that fight sequence with Keaton in his apartment when the guys are after him.
Well, by the way,
TV falls and immediately bursts.
The TV, it's as if a TV is made up inside of a lit match and a can of gasoline.
And basically,
and it's just if you tip it over, those two connect.
The
that can only explain what happens in this movie.
Everything in this movie basically is based on the idea that electricity can explode in at any moment. If it has a plug, it will explode.
Here's
like
the
it is made
thing
out of gas.
Too, about Keenan's apartment. They did set up what earlier in the movie he says something like, you know, you use your prayer beads, but I relax with Jack Daniel or something like that.
Right.
Then cut to later in that scene when the fire starts in the TV, Jack Daniel's has, I guess, fallen all over the floor.
Oh, is that it?
And okay. That lights the entire apartment.
Oh, no, that lights the exposed, the stove has been tipped over and the gas main.
Yes, the fire on the ground. But here's what's weird to me. I thought that apartment actually looked like a nice apartment.
Yes, it was a beautiful apartment.
It was a beautiful,
and really well decorated and like, well, he's a single guy.
Yes, but then later on when Seagal shows up, he's like, don't tell me you live in this shit box.
No, but that was, he was making a joke because it was all burnt out. Like, he wasn't like commenting.
I didn't even get that. I was like, why is he making fun of this apartment?
I do. I was like, this is a really beautiful place.
Well, but it was totally destroyed.
And hey guys, I know, but I really didn't see it that way.
How about that guy? Yeah, you should do some.
And I say, you live in this piece of shit. Steven, that doesn't even sound funny.
Here's the thing.
Snowman movement. From Jack Frost.
I think his moving around was a problem. I think it was problematic.
Well, that's why they push him a lot.
And that's why
things.
A lot of times he's in wheels. He's being carted around.
It also
around.
Is probably too expensive to animate him moving.
There had to be some kind of like Blues Traveler set piece. Oh. Like where it was
whatever
like,
this is, I'm into it.
Yeah, where like he had to save the day in some kind of talent show or
love
fundraiser
love,
or
love
something.
It.
Where you know that thing was playing harmonica with his weird stick arms.
Yeah.
And they made an animatic or they looked at it they were like, we can't.
And then you have that great scene of like someone in the crowd going like, he looks so lifelike or something, you know, like, and they're like, oh, how did they do it? Or they're like, somebody said like, oh, it's animatronic or it's a puppet, where, you know, like something on someone's front lawn.
But then the Jim Henson Company was like, we don't do that.
Yeah.
Read the fine print. Nobody makes jokes like that in the movies where we work on.
And we got a fucking shitload of these George Clooney snowmen, and you fucked us. And if Jim Henson hadn't died, we wouldn't be in this bullshit situation. Why didn't he just go to the doctor?
This is Kyle from Jim Henson Company.
Too soon? He should have gone to the doctor.
He should have gone to the doctor.
All he needed
that
to do was go to the doctor. And by the way, take Steve Jobs with you, Jim Henson.
Wigs from Mortal Kombat.
Do you think any part of your fixation with him has to do with his unusual hairline?
It's because I very
think
possible.
He has one of the more unusual hairlines in movie dumb. Like it's kind
of
a Frankenstein.
Well, that was a wig, though.
Yeah, but like any movie you've ever no, that's his natural.
But that's somebody's job to make a wig look good. I mean, you can't just like chalk it up.
The look on June's face for the line "that was a wig, though" was
come on, Carl.
Priceless.
That was a wig, though,
sweetheart. That was a wig.
Gorillas from Congo.
He is imprinted upon her, whatever that is, and that's a real thing. Like I remember.
Does he use a Twilight term?
No, that is a real thing because I went to a monkey like conservation.
Oh, well, look at this, June. Now who's the extra on gorillas?
And it's a very serious thing that happens a lot of times with female monkeys and gorillas, where they were really attached to their male handlers, and they won't mate with other animals because they want to mate with...
It's like that monkey on Animal Practice. We have a friend who had worked on that show, and the trainer's like, yeah, this monkey wants to fuck me, but I'm not going to fuck that monkey, you know, but that's, you know, he's really into me.
Yeah, and then they try to mate them with actual, like, gorillas and monkeys, and they won't do it.
Tornadoes from Sharknado.
From what I know of tornadoes, they're wind, essentially. Yes. That's picked.
And what do you know of tornadoes?
I'm about to tell
June
you.
June was an amateur storm chaser. Go ahead, tell him.
From what I know,
Helen Hunt was based on June.
From what I know about tornadoes.
And I'm not saying I know a lot or enough, but from what I know of tornadoes, wind starts to sort of pick up dirt and debris, and it kind of collapses.
You know
in
nothing about tornadoes.
No, no, no. It forms like keep, a cyclone yeah. that starts oh, to move.
Oh, okay. Wait, a tornado is like a cyclone?
I wish everybody had a visual a cyclone in the of air. What's happening.
I will
Live
say this.
Hand movement.
June, here's June what is kind made
of right.
Sense.
June is kind of Oh, go ahead. Well,
it would have made sense if the sharks got wrapped up in a cyclone, because a cyclone's a tornado in
June,
water.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
From what I know of cyclones.
But
shark clone doesn't sound quite as good.
Shark clone would have been it's
okay. Well, shark. June, you're kind of wrong and kind of right. A tornado is a violently rotating column
what about
of air,
a lone shark
air?
Clone?
That is in contact with both the surface of the earth and, in rare cases, the base of a cumulus cloud. They're often referred to as cyclones.
I thought a cyclone happened in water.
It says a cyclone is a low pressure circulation. I mean, I'm just telling you what they say.
But I mean, like, I would argue just from what's happened just here. I know you're reading off the internet, but whatever. But it sounds like June knows more.
I think that June should
and
get
I'm
on
saying
this.
I don't know everything, but I may know more than
all I know is during the movie.
DJing from Deck the Halls.
Again, I'm not a DJ. June, you are. You actually know stuff about being a DJ.
I do. I know a little bit about it.
here you go. Watch
you know
this.
As much about DJing as you do about tornadoes.
That is why I brought it up.
Actually say,
where does it fall on the scale? You know the most about DJing, I would
imagine. DJing, I mean, it's DJing gorillas, tornadoes, and...
Street Fighter.
And,
yeah, DJing.
And I believe, is science? Science?
Lasers, lasers.
Lasers, baby.
I'd say DJing is up top.
DJing is up
and
top.
And everything falls below. Everything DJing follows. Everything follows DJing.
Update your charts, nerds.
June's theories on animal wranglers from Mortal Kombat.
I do think, and I'm willing to say this now, that we should have an episode where we interview a Hollywood bug man.
If you are
honestly,
a Hollywood bug man,
I've met
please.
A few animal wranglers. I can't believe I'm going to go on record and say this, but they're usually, they're strange.
Well, there are, no.
I'm sorry, you can't believe you're going to go on record as saying Hollywood animal wranglers
people,
are strange people.
They are, it's a certain
say,
personality that
I'm
going to
say 90% of
field.
The time, they are not animal trainers, they are animal owners. Well, this is a great category.
This is exceptional.
I love all these. You know, I feel like, June, you never are one to say you're an expert unless you are.
I would never say that.
But I think, gosh, I don't know which one I would pick here.
Well, I feel like some of these things, like, it's not surprising to me to find out that June is an expert, has expertise in wigs.
Yes. No, we know that. We've heard the supercut.
But
and that's just
say,
because of my own wig wearing? Or
yes, exactly.
Okay.
I will say, when you revealed that you had a lot of expertise in gorillas in the Congo episode, I remember being really surprised by that and impressed. So for me, it is Congo gorillas.
Well, I'm going to go and maybe I'm going to be swaying the voting here. I was surprised that you had any experience in pyrotechnics. When you brought out that in Glimmer Man, the pyrotechnic work was suspect and that you have some experience with pyrotechnics, as someone who is married to you, I was surprised to learn that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to vote for yourself?
I will vote for myself. I think I will go with the thing I think I'm the most expert in, which is snowman movement.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, is that something that you did independent study on, or was that?
No, I haven't studied any of this stuff per se.
Mm-hmm. So how do you gain expertise without studying
that's
something?
A great question. It's more of sort of, you know, have you ever heard of like universal knowledge, like
oh sure, like the collective unconscious,
Young's
collective unconscious.
What we're all able to kind of tap into.
Sure,
that's
of course.
A lot. Like, that's more of what. Oh, I'm hearing the music play now.
All right, this is actually one of my favorite categories. We often talk about movies that, like, we pitch movies that should have been. And this is a collection of all the best How Did This Get Made movies that we've pitched in the space of an episode. So take a listen to this.
Best new movie pitch.
This is the movie I want. Jack Nicholson as Pacino, Slater as Keanu.
Yeah.
I want...
Or how about Al Pacino as Keanu, Jack Nicholson as Pacino?
Sean... Oh, I'm sorry. I misread this, guys. I misread this. It was not that... It was not Sean Penn for the part. It was Sean Connery.
That makes a lot more sense.
I want to see Sean Connery and Christian Slater in a movie directed by Joel Schumacher.
See, I feel like I would like
Nick Cage.
Nick Cage would have been fucking.
He could have been the Jeffrey Jones part.
I would like Nick Cage in every part of this movie. Nick Cage as
the crying
young guy.
Girl who was
Nick Cage
raped.
As the young guy and Sylvester Stallone as Pacino.
And Jason Statham as Charlize Theron.
That's a How Did This Get Made movie.
Here's my question. I wonder if they cast them for their voices. Do you think they were actually singing?
Yes, I think they were singing.
But besides Justin and Kelly.
But those other
they all sing. All the supporting
sing.
Players
I mean,
sing.
They were singers.
So can eighth graders. I mean, I'm not going to argue
really
that you should
divide the audience on that.
That you shouldn't mount a shot-for-shot remake of this movie with eighth graders. You will get literally no argument from me.
I would like...
probably a better movie.
Story-wise, make them all moles, and no one would know because there's right. no. You know, do you know what I mean?
Yes. I do, but I would say that.
Hey, are you still pitching that all moles movie?
Yeah, it's called The Moles.
If they're all moles, that would be the great.
Everybody's selling everybody out.
I think it would be amazing if someone made a sequel to this movie called The 20s, that was about the 20s. That was really good and totally dramatic and had an amazing cast and was really well directed, and then you just let people find out that this is the movie it was based on.
Andy McDowell is a nun.
Oh.
That happens in the... Yeah. She is the romantic lead in the movie. She keeps flirting and going after him.
Oh.
Three quarters of the way through the movie, it is revealed by virtue of a wardrobe change by putting her in a nun's habit that she is a nun.
Are they allowed to dress sexy on their off time?
Well, that means she's an under...
She's also undercover.
She's an undercover nun. She's an undercover. Guys!
Undercover!
Fucking nailed it!
Make the poster! Nundercover.
Nundercover?
By the way, that is a movie.
That is a movie.
Why has this not been done? We have to make Nundercover.
Nundercover.
Oh my God.
By the way, that should be. I almost want us to cut this out of the podcast.
I need to register this before
Nundercover. Oh God, I need to leave right now. I have to start writing.
Hey, can I? She'll be in the habit of busting all the crimes.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Okay.
Wow, he really shot you down.
Busting crimes is her habit.
Oh, I like that.
I mean, you just took my idea and moved it around.
You know what? You can control the video game. Nundercover the video game.
Oh, how about this? The kid gives the mom the harmonica. Kid dies. Comes back as a snowman for the mom to teach her not to have a devil baby. She's involved in a very sexual relationship with a jackal.
I do want to talk.
Or it's just like Fly 2. It's just like, it fades in on the basement of the Pentagon, and it's just like the kid is like a prisoner, and there's like some, like they're trying to figure out the technology behind the harmonica.
If we could have snowmen warriors, we would win every battle.
I love this.
Forget about snowman warriors. I mean, that's great, but also if we could conquer death.
Oh, right, you're right.
If people could die and come back and live forever.
There's a whole theory that the Jack Frost-style snowmen are what is beyond the wall in Game of Thrones.
There's a clear-cut winner.
I mean, clear-cut, right?
It begins and ends with Nundercover.
I don't need to look at any of the calculations.
Yeah. No,
the numbers don't lie. Nundercover.
Never do.
Yeah, Nundercover, we love it.
That was like a real moment. History was made in that moment.
We like wigs, but we also like accents. Here is a discussion of all of us talking about accents, our favorite accents.
Best conversation about accents.
The Danish, Dutch, Italian woman
from Devil's Advocate.
And I always confuse that woman with the Italian woman, and I feel like the Italian woman disappears
they're
halfway
through
the
women?
Movie.
Wait,
they're different women?
No. Oh, so
they're
the same
character. They're not?
Same
they're
the character.
Oh, okay. Cause the redhead? Yeah, because she has an accent in the
and
first half
doesn't.
Of the movie.
Then she doesn't.
No.
No, you're,
she doesn't have an accent. She's speaking Italian.
Oh, really?
No, that's not true, Jason.
No, she had the accent on the balcony.
She had the accent on the balcony.
She does
have an accent. What accent?
It's the same. She had an accent on the balcony in that scene where they're lit with
yeah. She loses it entirely.
Do it for me. What did it sound like?
Hey, how was it going?
Wait, I'm sorry. Was she Luigi?
No, but she, I mean,
so
she did have that
same
accent.
Girl.
It's the same girl.
That's the same girl.
But we may figure out why she loses that accent because of the twist at the end.
So you think she was putting it on the whole time?
Well, she's not Italian.
Did she have an accent?
That's the same woman,
yes.
Right?
It's definitely the same woman.
Okay.
It's definitely the same woman, the redhead.
And she had an accent on the balcony, right? And she lost it. Oh, wait, what do you say, sir? Okay.
What? That makes it more
that
confusing.
Adds a whole nother part
that
of it.
Makes it what? So much
apparently
more
she's Dutch. If you didn't hear that, she's
the
Dutch.
Wait a second. The actress is Dutch or the character was then meant to be Dutch?
Is it Catherine Hodge from Head of the Class?
The actress was Dutch? What are we doing fucking hiring the Dutch in our movies? Why
have I
this
said
this?
It
we don't
before,
need this.
Say it again. We can't let the Dutch get into America.
Guys, I'll allow a couple of Stellan Skarsgårds every now and then, but we cannot let Dutch take over our movie.
John Voight in Anaconda.
And this is also vaguely spoilery. Spend the entire movie waiting for John Voight to drop the accent and be like, my real name's Mike Smith. I'm from Chicago. I've been impersonating this other guy to make you guys trust me, even though I'm the least trustworthy person in America. Everybody knows that, especially Angelina Jolie, my daughter. He never does. Spoilers, he never does.
By the
he's
way,
supposed
his,
to be
his
foreign.
His accent is the best thing about
doesn't
this
doesn't he say he's from Uruguay
he's
or something?
He's a French Robert De Niro. Because he's got that, like, eh. He's always, like, he's like got this, like, permanent, like, I'm a French guy.
Is
he's
he
talking
French
to me?
No, he's South American.
He's South American.
American.
Okay, I thought he was French.
He says he's from Uruguay or something.
Yeah, it's Uruguay by way of New Orleans.
Yeah, except that Marcel, who's the Marcel? What's the guy's name who's the boat captain?
Mateo,
who I'm assuming was also South American, says merde at one point, which is shit in French.
I thought he was playing
French. I was like,
French.
What the fuck is happening?
The table read at Season of the Witch.
I feel like at the table read, they were like, you know what? However you talk, that's how your character talks. So British guys, you're British. American guys, you're American.
This is a good category because there's a lot of different people with bizarre accents throughout the entire thing.
I'm going to go ahead and vote here because I have a real, real favorite.
Yeah,
and
go
it's
ahead.
John Voight in Anaconda.
That's 100%. Mine too.
He's talking like a true lunatic in this movie.
John Voight, you take it home. John Voight is not here because he's out being a lunatic. He cannot accept the award. But if anyone runs into John Voight, let him know that he got an award for best accent in a Had This Get Made movie. And
tell him to contact us.
Yes.
Yeah, and also tell him there's no physical award. He's just won the title.
And if you see him out and about, feel free to give him a big high five.
Now, in the last episode, you kind of heard our best one-liners, the things that we said that were funny off the cuff. But now it's time to focus a light on our guests. And these are our guests' best one-liners.
Best one-liner from a guest.
Nick Kroll talking about the costume design in From Justin to Kelly.
There's like two costume designers, like an older woman, like with cigarette voice, and then some like chubby gay guy, and they just sat there being like, that's the wrong, never felt the right. Boo. Boo.
Dan Harmon's wishes after Jack Frost.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas indeed.
May you all have snow dads.
Owen Burke describing Jean-Claude Van Damme's workout.
Can I just talk about the fancy hotel room workout?
Oh my God.
Like, I was like,
that was amazing.
This is insane. Like, it's just like a Pilates, cigarette smoking, whiskey, pre-masturbation workout.
There's like a tub lift.
Andy Daly discussing Winter's Tale.
I read that Gangs of New York was an attempt to film this movie.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just kidding. It's almost identical to Gangs of New York.
It's like, basically it.
Drew Droege describing Lindsay Lohan's acting style.
I have seen at least five drag queens in my life that have given better readings of You Make Me Puke. I mean, like, that's such a, like, an iconic line. And it's like, you can't nail that.
Ike Barinholtz on the chemistry in On the Line.
This the chemistry between them, it was like the chemistry between like a hubcap and a turkey sub. It's like two, nothing. There's nothing.
But wait, who's who in that scenario? Because I want to know, because I want to know whether I was attracted to the turkey sub or the hubcap.
Oh, definitely the turkey sub. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Come on, man. Come on.
Seth Morris talking about how he got through In the Name of the King.
I tried. There's not enough weed and white wine to make this enjoyable.
Danielle Schneider describing lesbianism from Geely.
No. You're a lesbian.
No, you just need the right man.
If the right turkey gobbles you up, then you are on the straight train.
You will be set straight.
Basically, Ben Affleck's... Really guys, what are you thinking here?
I know what my calculations are coming up with.
What are you getting?
I mean, for me, hubcap and turkey sub.
That's mine. I just circled it too.
It's just the best.
I agree. That's a great one. And it also, like, it then infected the whole episode.
Yeah. I mean, we called them a turkey sub and a hubcap the entire time.
I agree.
But here's a fan favorite moment. It's Jason and Nick Kroll rapping in the From Justin to Kelly episode. People love this rap. So this is...
We're great rappers. We're great. We tour as a rap crew.
And take a listen to it right now.
The bit where... Justin, the pee-pee, the Pennsylvania Posse, starts to beatbox and rap on the beach.
I love.
And everybody's like, oh shit, this is amazing. And in fact, it is garbage. Top to bottom, garbage.
It's everything bad about white guys rapping. That like, you get like...
You're getting a girl's number, this is how you do it. Be cool about getting that number.
It's like,
oh shit.
Now I see why.
Yeah.
I get it.
I mean, like,
you got
listen,
the audience on its feet.
Check us out. We're opening for the Wu-Tang Clan.
Now, as much as the audience loves you, Jason.
Yeah, sure.
They also sometimes get upset with you because you antagonize them.
Sure. I don't mind telling them what's what.
And this is a category that was brought up by our How'd This Get Made fans. They wanted to do a specific category of you antagonizing people, whether... I think most of them are in the audience. Some of them are in the actual episodes. So take a listen to you antagonizing people.
Best crowd abuse.
Jason to an audience member who knows a little too much.
It did just occur to me that around the same time as... Al Pacino was playing the devil in this movie. Robert De Niro was playing the devil in Angel Heart.
Ten years.
Oh, okay. Because
wow,
I was like,
fucking IMDb back there.
Hey, guy that knows the years where America's Best Actors played the devil and all the women showed their tits. Relax.
Lisa Bonet, topless, 1345.
Hey, Mr. Skin, you. You can relax.
Jason strikes out at a creepy audience member from the live taping of Birdemic.
Who has one? Anyone? Bird squawk? Bird squawk? You have a bird squawk.
Yeah!
Wait a minute.
Yeah, you did this.
For real? For real? Your bird squawk is a bird screaming, yeah, yeah?
Oddly better than the sound effect used in the movie.
I would love it if all the birds were like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kick ass.
Doing it.
Where's my Australian guy?
It's happening,
guy?
Bro.
Jason doubts Jessica Sinclair saw Pluto Nash.
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
Was he a famous club owner before he got in jail?
No.
Then there is a timeline problem because by the time he arrives with Jay Moore and he's in the kilt in the very beginning, everyone's like, ooh, the Pluto Nash.
Because he's smuggling. He was a famous smuggler.
I didn't know that. I thought he had had, and I kept thinking to myself during that first scene.
What was the movie you watched? I want
to
know.
During the first scene, I thought to myself, well, who ran his club when he was in jail?
Sure.
And that wasn't clear. So now that's cleared a lot. Yeah, it was maybe an agent.
It also wasn't clear, though. Start out. It also really wasn't clear. Did he always have designs to become a club owner? Or
it was his dream, he said. When the gangsters are torturing Jay Moore, he says, it's always my dream to open a club of my own.
Oh, he buys Jay Moore's.
Okay, because
the club that he's singing.
He settles the debt.
I would pay upwards of $1,000 to just listen to Jessica St. Clair describe the movie she thinks she watched.
Guys, I feel like someone had given me the date rape drug, and then I woke up.
Well, it doesn't make sense.
My butthole was sore, and I had some vague memories of having screened Pluto Nash. That's the experience of watching that movie.
I thought when he said it was always my dream to open a club that he was lying just to get Jay Moore out of a pickle.
That's possible.
The opening scene is Jay Moore on stage being a Scottish crooner named Anthony Frankowski on the moon.
It's on the moon. Just so everybody knows, this movie takes place on the moon.
In
the year 2080.
It takes place in 2080 for 5 minutes, and then it jumps seven years ahead.
Yes,
I also want to say that Rosario Dawson in one scene keeps referring to back in 76. That's only 4 years ago. That's like if we were like back in 2008.
No, I mean by the time we see Rosario, it's 2087.
Well, see, I didn't know that. I didn't know what was going on.
She's probably at 9 years old.
I really wish you could just describe what you think you saw.
Jason gets into a fight with a baby.
Is that a pen?
Is there a baby?
Yeah, it is.
Is there a literal baby in this show?
This baby is learning everything it needs to do about life
right now.
Wait
a second. Is there a teeny tiny baby that I just said vaginal discharge in front of?
We showed that teeny tiny baby a sex scene, and we've talked about vaginal discharge.
How old is the baby? Oh, yeah, now you're keeping your secrets.
Must be a pretty young baby if he refuses to answer.
One and a half?
One and a half.
One and a half, okay, that's too old. If it was a tiny baby, I would like to hold
the baby. Baby doesn't
even
know how old it is.
If you brought a tiny baby, please bring it up here. I would like to hold it for the rest of the show. Because I'm only going to say more horrible things, and it's only going to be funnier if I'm holding a baby.
Bring us your baby.
Because here's the thing. It's kind of weird if I said something, but then if I'm holding an infant and I say cunt punch,
it's fine.
It's going to be pretty fucking funny. I want
baby. Do you like this baby?
Give me your baby.
Why?
Is there another baby here?
Babies
what is going on with these babies?
Babies like podcasts.
Does that baby know I've been saying fuck a lot?
That baby really got into the fingering discussion.
The baby's going to be like, what? What's fingering?
I'm going to guess 30.
30.
Is it the same baby?
What? There was a baby at another show?
There's a baby yesterday after I talked about vaginal discharge.
Well, is what a baby is, right?
Oh, yeah.
True.
That's true.
Solid.
Jason, I mean, solid category. I don't know if there's really a winner except for me, the person that gets to antagonize the audience at our
show. I think you antagonizing a baby really takes the cake.
Yeah, maybe you're right. That baby was being a real fucking asshole.
And it actually, someone actually gave June and I a onesie with you saying that quote, give me your baby, on a onesie.
Yep. And you have sent me a picture of your child wearing that onesie.
It is amazing.
Which is a crazy picture of my face on your son's tiny body.
Right out of the hospital was one of the first onesies he wore.
That's correct.
Okay. Our final category. We end.
Boom, boom, boom.
We end every episode.
What a glamorous night.
Two weeks. We've had so much fun.
Stars.
Everything.
I mean,
seat fillers,
snubs, flubs.
We had so
upsets,
much. So much
sure
great
things,
work.
Clooney. You
know. He was lovely. Wasn't he great?
So good.
Backstage. He didn't come out
of
the stage.
Just as nice as people say.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to go to his wedding with Amal. Amal would be a great
We are
one.
Invited.
But now it is time to celebrate not us, but you, the Amazon reviewers. This is time for a best of second opinions. This is where we read the best second opinions. And these are just I am a reader of them. I can't take credit for them. Here they are.
Best of Second Opinions.
From Jack Frost.
This is from Shane. He goes, my dad was the exact same way. Music was his number one priority. I was third. Women were his second. He didn't die, but he might as well have. The last time I saw him, I was 8 years old, and it was Christmas Eve. I watch this movie every year around Christmas as I can remember. Not because it's a good flick, but because I can relate. I mean, even the little things, like the fact that his dad is a chubby music buddy and that his mom's a blonde, just more similarities. A must-see for the entire family or anyone who's experienced a similar life.
From Over the Top.
Brittany B. writes, I bought this DVD for my boyfriend who arm wrestles professionally.
What?
Before I dated him, I didn't even know a thing existed. Anyway, I got it for him for his birthday, and he kept dropping subtle hints of wanting the movie on DVD because his VHS version had seen better days.
Wait, is she dating the guy from the first response who wore out the tape?
Is she dating my
Maybe
296?
People who just love this movie only own VHS machines in their trucks.
It's impossible to find anywhere.
Yeah, it is.
By the way, it's really hard to find Over the Top. I spent the last 4 days looking for it.
Oh, my God.
It's on Amazon. It's on Instant, yeah, but you can't find it like in the
it's
store
It's on Netflix.
Anymore. Is it on Netflix? Yeah. I'm just fucking
Netflix
stupid.
Watch
Sorry.
Instinct, guys.
Upon receiving his gift, you would have thought I had given him the world. He bragged about this gift to all of his friends and fellow arm wrestling acquaintances.
He's not ready to call those guys friends.
He said, the quality of the DVD was excellent. The only complaint he had was there were no special features other than the original movie trailer.
And for that, he beats me mercilessly.
Brittany B, 5 fucking stars.
From Devil's Advocate.
The final one here, Ben Pascal. This is a great film. Al Pacino, as always, steals the show. Reeves turns in his usual average performance. Then, in all caps, by the way, you loonies, this is the truth about God. Five stars.
From I Know Who Killed Me. Jack Spratt writes, this movie will challenge your mind and senses. An amazing piece of art. Lindsay Lohan's stripping scenes are the best I've ever seen.
What?
Wow. For people who are intelligent and love that which is unique, this may become your favorite movie.
Wait, will you reread that sentence?
For people who are intelligent and love that which is unique, this may become your favorite movie. Okay.
P.S. I've never been to a strip club.
P.P.S. English is not my first language.
From Crossroads.
This is from Lucy's mom. Guys, get ready, because just like the movie, this review is a little dark. Title, Bought for My Sister, May She R.I.P.
Oh, boy.
This was one of her favorite movies. She loved it and thought it was very sentimental to talk about your youth and everything you went through growing up. She thought it meant a lot, and I wanted to replace her missing copies of both items when she passed away. Thanks to Amazon, it was cheaply and safely done. 5 stars.
Whoa.
From On the Line.
Now there's another one. These are written just by the blank names. I was very impressed with Joey and Lance's performance. There are better actors than these guys, but just imagine this movie with other people and you'll be fine.
That's not my responsibility.
That's a slam. That's a slam. That's not a good review.
I gave him a 5-star review. If you don't like these guys, just imagine better people doing it.
Look, there are better actors. I'm not going to lie. But if you imagine those better actors doing it, it's great.
It also says here, it could have been better with 15 or 20 minutes chopped off. It dragged down too long. With 15 or 20 minutes, the movie's barely an hour.
It's 58 minutes.
This could have been a good half-hour sitcom.
From Justin to Kelly.
This one, prepare yourself. It's a little sad. From April Payne. This
P-A-I-N?
No, P-Y-N-E, okay. Like Major Payne. Damon Wayans. Here we go. This sweet little departure from reality saved my life. I was drowning, and it was like being thrown a life ring.
Fucking relevant. In. Beach relevant.
Beach. Beach.
Let me explain. I lost my father in September, and then I lost another 15 people from my life over the course of the next 2 years.
I don't believe that.
Liar. September 11th.
So whenever I couldn't bear it, maybe. I would put in From Justin to Kelly, and for the next 80 plus minutes, I always watch the extended version.
Wait, there's an extended version?
Yes, oh, yeah. The DVD is 90 minutes. Yeah. 90 minutes on DVD.
Oh, what's fuck. In that 10 minutes?
Two more songs and a little bit more sexual innuendo.
And three minutes of penetrative sex between between Alexa and the white rapper guy.
So when she was really depressed, she put it into her DVD player. And for the next, I love the music, I love the dancing, and I'm not a dance fan. So that says a lot. Even though I know how it ends, each viewing will still find myself engaged in the tension created between the characters. To me, that's the mark of a good story. So, if you need a break from the hectic life that you lead, pop in this popcorn film, grab a diet drink, and settle in for a bit of summer movie
fun.
Grab
a diet drink.
Anyway, I'm done typing now from this cabin in the woods. The cops are shooting at me.
From Toys. How about this one from Adele Thompson Tinky from New Jersey? She writes, I like the scenes. She spells scenes S-C-E-A-N-S.
Wow.
I like the scenes that they do in the movie is good.
Wait, what?
Yep, oh, that's real. I'm reading it real.
Uh-oh.
I like the scenes they do in the movie is good. Like how they made this big room with all these toys. I'm not talking about the storyline. I like this movie for ideas. I saw the buggy and horse that have Ken and Barbie on it in Disney World. It displayed in the Cinderella Castle. And I remember when I just turned 17 then. I have a good memory.
Whoa.
Five out of five.
There's a lot going on in that review.
She's
at Disneyland at 17?
That might have been someone that worked at Zevo.
Oh, boy.
From Hudson Hawk. And this is my favorite review of all time by Yellow Defender. I thought the storyline was great. It was a little boring, but it kept me on my toes. My favorite parts were when the dog Bunny goes flying out the window and when Bruce gets out of jail and throws the key into the mop thing and he adjusts his hat. He had me try cappuccino too, and it's pretty good. I think this is one of Bruce's best movies, even if he doesn't think so.
So he turned him on to cappuccinos. That's
huge.
Wait, one of his favorite parts was the head?
When he adjusts that. This is like also like, again, another like non-joke. Like Bruce Willis like steals a guy's keys and then tosses his keys in a dirty mop bucket and is like, hey.
Yeah.
Just like adjusts
cool
the head.
Guy.
It's like, it's a cool guy.
It's a non-moment.
It's a non-moment moment, but it's like, but it's also like, he's so cool.
There's so many great ones.
I don't think I don't know that there's a winner.
I don't know if there is either. I do like the ones that really reveal too much information, like the one from Crossroads that revealed that all of her friends died.
Oh, yeah.
I also liked that the guy who never had a cappuccino before he saw Hudson Hawk, and it made it really pushed him to try it. I don't know. I don't know. I I'm going to go, if I had to vote, I'm going to say Devil's Advocate, where the man went on a religious rampage and said that this movie was the truth about God.
All right. I'll back that up.
Yeah, my numbers are coming in. And
oh, yeah? You're starting to get the dials in?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It looks like Devil's Advocate.
All right, Devil's Advocate won. Well, that is our award show.
Make sure to listen to the post-award show wrap-up with Mario Lopez.
He's going to be just covering what we talked about. But we thank you guys so much for listening to the show. We've been doing this for a very long time, 10 days to be exact. And it's awesome that you guys have been listening to us and passing us on to your friends and our, you know, it's we love our audience. We love you guys. And,
you guys are the best, you fucking weirdos.
Yes, thank you so much. It's been amazing, and you know, I'm just so honored to have been honored like this tonight. So thank you.
And honestly, we could not have done this show without the help of our fans. We came to you, and you came back. You pulled clips. You found things. You suggested ideas. You were amazing. At first, I want to thank our team of interns, Nate Kiley, Avril Haley, Katie Dwyer, and Leanna Waldron. But then I want to thank the people who really got involved and found things. People like Shannon. I don't know who your last name, Shannon, but you are on our How Did This Get Made message boards. You are one of the people that comment all the time. We thank you. We praise your name. Sandy Black, who just went into it with a group of people that included people like Ear Bear and Justin L and Maximilio. You guys made this show. And the two people at Earwolf that I could not have done this without. They were the ones who put things in documents and did Excel things, made this entire process easy for me, and it was complex. Of course, were Savannah Nix and July Diaz. Those two people, I thank you. I worship at your feet. You guys did the grunt work, the stuff that no one wanted to do. You took it on, and you did it so damn well. So we thank you all. And of course, the person who put this entire show together, he's here with me right now. Brett Morris, he did this entire thing. It was a monster assignment, and he's done it so well. So we thank him so, so much. And then last but certainly not least, the people who actually listened to the episodes, pulled the clips, and sent them to us, June will be giving a special shout out to each one of you. Take it away, June.
Matt McGee, Kyle Boyarski, Brian Smith, David Truesdale, Kevin Daly, Jake Nutting, Jerry Jensen, Happy Kilmore, Jennifer McHugh, Richard Moulton, Tim Burke, Tony Fleming, Ryan Pomeroy, Nate Wetmore, Steve Straw, Patrick Dunn, Matthew Halpin, Tony Fleming, Christian Manzano, Joe Costin, Garrett Torrance, John Tai, Donald Hanks, Alan O'Sullivan, Yan Tu, Loitering in Wonderland, Jay Graham, James C. Lynch, Paul O'Brien, Andy Boosie, Goots, Eli Fine, Rebecca Solomon, Zach Levin, Janine Brown, Megan Galinsky, Aaron S., Stacey Schuler, Kristen, Robert Jones, Riley Bloom, Graham Reed, Teresa Maloney, Chelsea Meester, Fred Rains, Joe McCov, Helen Williams-Chaffins, Donald Erickson, Chris Cavan, Mike Campbell, Chrissy DeGroot, Heather Sink, Kim Layer, Kevin Daly, Christopher Cruz, Amanda Livingston, Joe Ellis, Ashley Patriarchy, Nate Killey, Kevin Porter, and everyone at Earwolf.
Thank you for listening, and remember to go to naturebox.com/how to get 50% off your first month. It's time to get snacks that you can feel good about again. naturebox.com/how today.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. Oh.
The wolf's dead.